Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 4. Talk to you about an operation of the Spirit. One of the most important operations of this last days. You know, the Bible says that we behold Him as in a mirror. We are changed, transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And there are different parts or aspects of the operation of Christ, our high priest, that's going to get us to the place where we're without spot and without wrinkle. The Bible says we're going to be without spot and wrinkle. I'm like, Lord, you got a long way to go. On our present course to be without spot and wrinkle, you know, we need to be Methuselah. We live 1,000 years because at the rate we're going, the job's not getting done. I discovered an operation in the Spirit. I kind of fell into it in the past, and it just so happened that it initiated again this week. I wasn't expecting it at all, because the week before I was in the glory all week long. Two Tuesdays ago, I couldn't even pray because the glory was just so, really the whole week like that. The whole week it was just so amazing, but that was preparing me for this week that I had no idea. I thought I was going to be birthing this week. We went a whole nother direction. And God will throw a few loops every once in a while. Amen. He's in charge. Say, He's in charge. We're not. But this operation I'm going to share with you is extremely important for the day and hour we live in. I believe truly with all my heart, it's the way God's going to perfect the saints in the last days. And so I'm talking to you a little bit about this. Hebrews 4 verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I can say amen. How many of you have been on the cutting end of that sword? Raise your hand. You know, when the sword gets turned inward, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. That's soul, spirit, and body. It's able to separate all three parts. God is in that operation in a very big way. He says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There are things in your life, no matter how close to God you are, you're not going to be able to see. There are things in your soul that are hidden from you, but not hidden from God. Amen? And there's a time that God will put a light on it. And I'm discovering what actually causes Him to do that. The operation I'm talking about today, God's just not going to just visit you and just start this. It has everything to do with your permissions and the way that you give your life to Him and the way you're giving your spirit to serve Him and the way that you come up into His light. There's a certain area of light you come into that'll activate this sword. And when it gets activated, there's no stopping it. It says, neither is there any creature manifesting inside, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This entire operation I'm talking about is an operation that comes out from the throne of grace. I want you to turn to Matthew 3, and for the rest of it, I'll just exhort. This is very important to understand this. It'll help you in a very big way should this sword get activated at another level. Look at Matthew 3 verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, a lot of times we look at that is like a fire that will come upon you in a service, like He baptized you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Really, this particular scripture is not talking about that. It's not talking about ministerial fire. It's actually talking about a purging fire. And we know that because of the next verse. Whose fan or who winnowing fork, say what? Winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor, gathering the wheat into the garner, and he burned the chaff with the unquenchable baptism of fire. When this baptism initiates, it initiates for a purpose and a reason, and it will initiate against an operation of your old man. The Bible says we're crucified with Christ. Amen? But you, in your new man identity, is not crucified with Christ. It's your old man identity that's crucified with him. It's your old man that's planted together in the likeness of his death. It's your old man that's buried with him in baptism. Whenever God's doing that, says, well, God's taking me through brokenness. If he's taking you through brokenness, he's breaking off of you something that no longer belongs. Amen. As we grow and develop and mature in God, things God winks at that God says permissible no longer are permissible anymore. The higher you go, the more accountability. When the accountability reaches into a level of light, God will begin activating the winnowing fork, the two-edged sword, the knife of circumcision. It's all the same thing. And when he activates it, he has a very specific purpose in mind. He's going to carve out something in your life. He's going to carve out, and it's very deep, it's very wide, it is very sharp. And it's highly uncomfortable. It's more than highly uncomfortable. It's downright miserable while you're under it. I know that that's not an amen message, but what comes out of it? When God comes and does this, it's like a combine tractor, like a bulldozer. He bulldozes out the whole thing. He goes down into the foundation and he bulldozes it out. And when he's done, that thing is finished in you. There are certain things God will leave in the operation of your life because, I mean, you know, your soul does not get born again. It's your spirit that gets born again. Your soul undergoes a process of transformation. Your body, he just declared it dead. He says, Christ being you, the body's dead because of sin. Why did he do that? Because he knew he had to leave you in a body that has capacity for sin, that has capacity for temptation, that can love the world as much as it loves God. It can dance in church and it can serve the world if you let it. That's the nature of your flesh. Amen. Your soul is quite flaky. Your soul can be in the glory of God with your spirit saying, hallelujah, Jesus is alive, and walk right out that door. It can hear a bad report or it can start wanting the world. That, as soon as your body kicks in, the soul will jump over there. As soon as the flesh kicks in, your soul will ride both wagons. Amen. So what happens is when you're born again, your soul doesn't undergo this new creation. Your soul is a very highly developed matrix. It's able to compartmentalize a lot of things. It compartmentalizes pain, trauma, rejection. It compartmentalizes so many things in our childhood when we're growing up. It's just pushing and compartmentalizing, pushing down, compartmentalizing. How many of you ever had that happen? What happens? You don't know what all it's compartmentalized. How many of you are just sitting there watching TV sometimes? You'll have a thought from when you're 5 years old and you're thinking, how is that thought even still in me? Your soul compartmentalizes every single thing that happens to you in this life. Every bit of information, it's all there. Compartmentalized somewhere. Some things are good, some things are ugly, some things are, you got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, when the Spirit of God comes along and you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes along, he begins building your spirit. And when he begins building your spirit, the Holy Spirit's taking residence. A lot of things that are in your soul can be compressed or suppressed or overridden just simply by the Spirit of God. But what happens is we begin to develop, grow, and become into the meat of God's Word and the maturity of God, into the glory of God, and especially into the light of God. Say, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Start dwelling in his light. Whatever's dark is going to have light upon it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, stronghold, situations. It's like a continuous thing we're doing with God. God doesn't just come and clean the house all in one day. He cleans the house in stages as we grow in him. Certain things, before you go to the next level, God says that has to go. Before you go to the next level, that has to go. Before you graduate,
God's not going to come and graduate you without transforming you. But most of the time we don't know what he's looking for. And you might as well not try to get you a microscope out and try to find it either. It's nothing you no good to get you a list of all things you need to change because you can't change them anyway. Because if you could have changed them, they wouldn't be with you right now. And you can say amen. So don't go get in the microscope and look at him and say, what do you want to change? Trust me, your high priest is well able to do this. He's really good at it. All you need to do is keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed upon the glory of God. And there are going to be times, most of the time, it's all about the presence of the Lord. It's all about the love of the Father. It's all about the glory of God. It's all about the fullness of the Spirit. But then there are times that he's going to initiate this baptism of fire with a winnowing fork, which he just so happened to do this Monday. And it's not always to do with sin as you would think sin. A lot of times it has to do with character frailties in your life that have been existing, but the Holy Spirit and your strong new man is just overridden or suppressed all that and has pushed it down where it does never rise up. And so sometimes the thing he's actually dealing with, you may haven't dealt with it in 5 years. You might not have even dealt with it in 20 years. Anna was telling me about a lady she recently ministered to that was in a very large church out of Dallas. She was on the leadership team. And this lady came in for Sozo. And all of a sudden, by the end of that Sozo session, she's like coughing up spirit. She's going to full-blown deliverance. And I mean, the stuff was coming out, the whole thing that they do, you know. And she goes, I can't believe that's there. She says, I'm in leadership. I've been in the presence of God. I've been in the glory of God. How can that be there? How can I have a spirit like that housed up in me when I've been in the glory? And people don't understand that realm of how this stuff works. Listen, when you're born again, you cannot be truly possessed. Because when you're born again, a spirit cannot inhabit your new nature. That is where the Holy Spirit dwells. He cannot, he has no access. Because you're a being like this, God sometimes has to separate things. But a spirit can inhabit the soul realm. And many times they get locked in there. And not just one, little clusters of them get locked up. You have a traumatic event that happens in your life, and all of a sudden that trauma locks in fear in your life. But you come out of that trauma, and but something's been suppressed, and you go on to live your life, but that there's something locked up in there. And it causes situations as you go on in life, but you don't know what's causing the situation. Because sometimes it has to go back to the very thing that opened the door. Now what happens when we go through things, especially when we grow up, as little children in that age gap, but trying, we're born up into 18 years old. All the things that happened during that time to us, the improper imaging, all the different things that happen, there are a lot of things the soul suppresses. And when the soul starts suppressing, because that's the way it deals with life, by the way, the soul has a mechanism. If it gets hurt, it will create a defense mechanism. And that defense mechanism will continue to be there to make sure you don't hurt anymore. But a lot of times what's fueling all that is the spirit will get trapped in there. And it'll create the defense mechanism with which you live life. Let me just give you an example. Let's say you've been through difficulty and so you get in your first real relationship with somebody. And it's just glorious for 3 months. But then it goes soul tie and it goes downhill fast. And I mean, there can be abuse, there can be all kinds of things, verbal, sexual, physical, all these things can happen. And all of a sudden, it takes you all of a sudden to get out of that. It's like, God, I'm so glad I'm out of that. And all of a sudden, there it is again. Within a year, you're back in the same kind of relationship. Why is these patterns repeatable like that? You ever watch a reality shows and these ladies, they're falling in love, you know, but they're so afraid to fall in love because I've been hurt before. I just know I'm going to get hurt again. And they won't commit to somebody they really like because fear is governing them. And the fear of that past is hanging on to them and is governing. And many, many times there's spirits and clusters of them that have locked that up in their soul. And even if they do come in the next relationship, they're bringing that past in. And that past is going to re-sow itself. It's going to re-govern their life. And most of the time they're going to fail a second time. And sometime a third time. And if they don't get healing, a fourth time. and a fifth time. And if you're married or considering marrying somebody that's had four divorces, you better get some sozo. You can say amen. But what happens is it can be anything from works or things of the childhood, rejection, fear of failure, anything that you've had continual struggle with, a lot of times get locked up in there. But what happens is, because you have the Holy Ghost, because your spirit is strong, because you're walking with God, a lot of times the Spirit of God in your new nature just suppresses all that. The soul doesn't get to run rampant. And those spirits are good at hiding. Sometimes we're not just talking about spirits, sometimes we're just talking about strongholds. My definition of stronghold would be a system of thought empowered by emotions that create actions, reactions, and behavior patterns that are contrary to the mind and nature of Christ. Systems of thoughts governed by emotions that are going to create an action, a reaction, or a behavior pattern that's contrary to the mind of Christ, but familiar to you. So familiar, you'll guard the action. So familiar, you'll justify the reaction. So familiar that to you, it's truth. What you're doing is true. It don't matter if 10 people are shouting at you, what you're doing is true. You're wrong, I'm right. That's all there is to it. And also, what happens when someone gets really, really, really wounded, hurt, betrayed, what they do is they have guardians at the gate. How many of you know what guardians at the gate are? Means if you let anybody too close, they're going to get a mouthful. Somebody gets into the violated territory and you start feeling violated. Well, some people will run. Other people will come out. You start touching this part, you're going to get some of this. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? All this is the work of strongholds, and oftentimes strongholds have spirits that have created this stuff. Now, you can go to the First Church of Deliverance, and they can do all deliverance and things. Here's the deal I found out about deliverance. If you're not maturing in God, it doesn't even good to get delivered, because it's going to re-sow itself. I mean, if all you're doing is just coming in to get a fix, that's all you're going to do is get a fix, but that spirit still has a house, and you drive him out, he'll come right back to that house, and if you're an open door, he'll come right back in, because he wants back in the house he built. He wants in the patterns, in the system of thoughts, he wants in the actions, the reactions, the behavior patterns. He built the house, he wants to dwell there. It doesn't matter if you're born again. It doesn't matter if you shimmy shoe at church. Because he's hiding anyway, or they, or them, or legion. So what happens is they like to hide. And when they're hiding, they're very good at hiding. They can hide for a very long time, and they can hide under some extraordinary anointings that I found out. But what happens is certain trials in your life will bring it out. People can bring it out. Situations can bring it out. It's called getting in the flesh. And if you get in the flesh too much, something else comes out. I'm like, whoa, what is that? Where once in a while they want to release. Amen? Can I get an amen? Then again, you repent, and you go on with God, but many times there's still resin, or the stronghold is still resin. You don't actually have to have a spirit to have a stronghold, but oftentimes when you have a stronghold, it's the work of a spirit, and they're hiding in that, in the compartmental parts of your soul and in your flesh. And what happens is this, that people say, I want to get free, I want to get free, I want to get free, but they don't have the level of accountability yet to see it. They're too familiar with the action of it. In my own life, when I was dealing with control in the past, I mean, nobody could tell me. Most people didn't want to say it because they were afraid to say it, because I was really good at retaliation back in those days. And it's a highly developed defense mechanism. So you'll defend everything because you're right. I remember when the first time the Lord started something like this, it was that whole stronghold. And I went through like 50 days of this baptism of fire. It didn't stop. I didn't know if I was going to be forever in this thing, because he had ordered it, because I'd found the right hand of God and I came up to a place of accountability with him. See, your anger goes so high in God that he's not going to initiate this. And the reason I'm telling you about this, because if this starts happening, you need to know, and there's nothing wrong with you. Well, there is something wrong, but you need to know that he's fixing it. Amen? So you can go to the glory one day and the next day be in the valley under the winnowing fork. It's like, what happened? I thought we were ready to birth. All you were doing was talking about all this birth and I'm back in the valley with you. I didn't do anything to deserve this valley. See, if you go the wrong way with it, you'll think that you did something wrong and God had to pull you off the mountain. In reality, you got up into the light of the Father. And the Father's light got on you. And when the Father's light got on you, came to a level that you can go no further until the high priest with a two-edged sword and the winnowing fork removes the next level of operation. Now, he's not there to put balm on your wound. He's there to surgically remove the entire tree. When he goes in, I don't care if it's 5 days or 50 days. This last one was 5 days. But I'm out. Praise God. When you're in it, it's like, God, get me out of this. But I know because I've been under it, the kind of level of transformation that comes and what's next. The glory of God is always because there's a promotion coming. There's something. In fact, you are on the threshold of promotion so much so that God ordered your high priest, the Father, gave the permission for the high priest to come cut out the next level so you can go up higher. Now, when your high priest begins to initiate this sword, the two-edged sword, you will suddenly, 1 minute be in the glory of God in the best place in your life, and suddenly you'll walk in and nothing's working for you. And all of a sudden, he starts going down, down, down into the foundations, and he can go places you could never go yourself. He has a light, he has a sword, he has a knife, he has a winnowing fork. And when he begins the process of separation, he's not there just to put healing balm on the wound. He is there to surgically remove the entire thing. And when he initiates it, you might as well know. Now, I'll tell you, it takes a lot to go through this, because when he opens the wound up or he opens the room, you don't even know this room is there. This room he opened in me this week, I haven't honestly experienced anything like this in 5-7 years, not even thoughts. All of a sudden he opens the room like, where did that come from? But see, you don't know what's there. Doesn't do any good to go try to find out. He knows. But this time he's actually going to take your soul and make it a part of his nature. He's going to occupy a place that the enemy has occupied. He's going to occupy an area of darkness in you. When he comes in, he's going to surgically remove the darkness. He's going to pull the tree out, and he is going to occupy it with his own nature. This is truly what it means to be rooted and grounded in love. This means when he comes to dwell with you, listen, when the Father comes to dwell in love, he's not coming to dwell with your old man. He's coming to conquer. When the Father's fully dwelling us, he's going to conquer us. When Rick Joyner went to heaven, he got caught up in heaven, they told him, one of the things they said to him is that the greatest calling of all is to be fully conquered by him. It's greater than being used by him. He says those that will allow him to conquer them to most will be used the greatest in this last hour. They said the greatest calling of all is to be fully conquered. He talked about this as the judgment seat of Christ, because this is really what it is. It's an operation of our high priest, the judgment seat of Christ. All I can say is once he starts, you might as well just hunker down. Amen? Because it's not going to stop. Now, the reason why he doesn't do this, because when he opens a room like this, every feeling, thought, emotion that was locked in that room suddenly gets brought to the surface. And it creates actions, reactions, behavior patterns that are associated with that room, associated with that stronghold. And if you're not strong enough to deal with it, you'll go haywire. And God knows that. That's why he leaves the stuff locked until you're ready. Are you ready? What happens is you come up to a level of God, a level of strength and maturity, he'll take you through. He's not doing this to harm you. He's doing this to elevate you. He's doing this to graduate you. He's not going to leave you there. God does not want you associating your life with your old man. God's not wanting you to associate your life. Well, I'm just going to bear my cross. I'm going to bear my cross. I'm going to die daily. Look, I did that. We did that for years. All we did is wear the circumstances. That's not what living's about. God is about elevating and resurrecting your identity in Christ. But he's also about crucifying your old man. And the same power that's in his resurrection is the same power that's in his death and burial. Just because he's not on that cross doesn't mean he's still not burying. When he declared your body dead, he legally declared your entire matrix of your flesh dead. Now, it may not be dead. Positionally, it's dead. It may not be dead yet, but it gives him the authority to execute it along the pathway of life in stages. He'll execute one level after another. The higher you go, the more he's going to do it. Amen? This is how he perfects us. This is how we come to spot without spot and wrinkle, because the things that you cannot change, that you have no power to change, his power of death, burial, and resurrection and the winnowing fork can absolutely change. Amen? It said, if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin. He said, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. That's where you should always be. Seek the things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections upon things of God, for you're dead. Say, you're dead. Oh, man, but your life is hidden with Christ. Amen? Now, you can go to these self-help seminars where they'll get you to go in and start looking at your stuff. It doesn't do any good even if you can look at it, because you don't have the power to change it. He's the one that does. If you let him do it in his time, when he initiates it, God said, I want you to share this, because when this happens, you'll understand what's going on. First thing you need to do is understand nothing's wrong with you. Second thing you really need to realize that you're actually in one of the best places you've ever been. It's because you're in a high place with God. The light has executed or initiated its operation upon your old man. That's a good thing. Even if Cujo comes out, it's a good thing. Not a good thing that Cujo comes out, but it's a good thing that he's activating and initiating this kind of light. Everyone's squirming right now. But when he initiates that, he's initiating for permanent change. When this sword comes through, he's going to get all of it. Amen? When this sword comes through, when you come back into the glory of God, that is no longer ever going to be associated with you or your identity. There's nothing, anything that can bring it out, because Jesus is going to carve it out. And when he's done carving it out, he's going to replace it with his own fruit, with his own nature. He's going to plant himself there. He's going to occupy the areas of the enemy. Well, there's nothing wrong with me. Oh, you're the best candidate of all. He said, son, this is the operation of the promised land as much as in the wilderness. When they went in the promised land, what he said? Displace the giants. They displaced the giants. There were seven or eight giants, and every one of them represented something. But I want you to listen to this, because I did all the Hebrew breakdown a long time ago of what all these giants meant, because they're actually strongholds. Before you're going to go displace a giant out there, you might want to let God start in here. Amen? Because if he can't overcome in here, you're not going to go overcoming anything out there. Amen? The greatest calling of all is letting him overcome what's in here. Amen? Here's some of the names of the strongholds. Hittites, it's fear. The Amorites, pride and rebellion. They were mountaineers, dwellers in the summits. The Canaanites, condemnation, control, manipulation. The Girgashites, unstable foundation, instability. Perizzites, independence, spirit of independence. Jebusites, rejection and depression. Amalekites, we know that one, human sufficiency. There are times God will carve out human sufficiency, because if you don't, it'll keep overriding your faith. It'll keep overriding the Spirit of God and keep doing something apart from God. That's a huge stronghold when it comes to birthing promises of God, because human sufficiency will constantly try to circumvent God's process and do what the soul is so good, it's circumventing God. They're coming up with an idea. Hey, let's do this. And then what happens is it gets empowered by the emotion. You run off and do it, and it's not God. causes a lot of problems, but it sure looked like God. That's how human sufficiency works. And then the last one is anacharonic. That's the spirit of control. So that was a big one. That one sat on the promised land. That was on Mount Hebron. But as God begins to move us up in, he's going to start removing the things that are in the way. You keep your eyes on him. As we behold him, we go from glory to glory. But when he begins this process, you need to understand that he's going in there carving stuff out. Now, when he does this, you might as well write one thing, graduation. Whenever you're going through something like this, write graduation. Say graduation. Whenever he's initiating, because he's ready to graduate, you're ready for graduation, he's ready. Listen, God's not going to come in with a winnowing fork. Somebody's got a half foot in the world, half foot in church. And all of a sudden he's going, hey, I'm here with a winnowing fork. No, you give him the permission to do this as you begin to ascend into the hill of the Lord, successfully turning more and more of yourself over to him, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength. As you do, there's going to come a time this gets initiated. Now, believe me, the process is painful as all get out. But it's a short time. It's like a surgery. And when he's done, depending on the level, how long you're in it. There was a big one in the past. That was 50 days. This one's only 5 days. So praise God. I'm like, God, please, let's don't do that for a while. But when he's finished, oh, you, the glory and the fellowship that you have with him after this, because he's removing things that are in the way. And the presence of God that comes over you, it takes you to a new level of glory, of light, of love. That's how he's going to conquer us. That's how we're going to carry the glory and the manifest glory of God. We're not going to carry the manifest glory of God as orphans. We're not going to carry the manifest glory of God with a whole bunch of dysfunction. He's going to successfully move our dysfunction from glory to glory. He's going to remove the dysfunction. Amen? As he does that, one level, you elevate, your soul elevates, your heart elevates, your spirit elevates into the things of God. You think different, act different, behave different, see things different. Now, here's one of the things that started this process. What happened was, I had a dream, and on Monday, it was early Monday morning, and it was right at around 6:30 in the morning, because Anna woke me up. But in the dream, I was in my foyer, and Anna and I were talking, and the lights were dim in the foyer. Something ran across the top of the foyer. Someone was in the house. Now imagine you at night, and you see someone run across your house. You feel the chill, because you don't know who that is. And the first thing I think, I want my gun. And my gun's in the bedroom. I'm trying to calculate, do I run to my bedroom, get the gun? What if he comes down? So I don't know what to do, and I'm thinking, well, where did he go? Where is he at? Why is he? And somebody was in my house. And I'm wrestling with this, and all of a sudden, Anna wakes me up. And it was like 6:30, because I looked at my cell phone, it was 6:30, and she goes, wake up, you had a dream. And so I come up out of that dream, and I was right in the height of that thing. And so I get up, I go to prayer. And while I'm in prayer, I'm wanting to go up the mountain of God, and I'm just thinking, well, I'm wondering if that's something going on with the kids, or, you know, if something's up in the house. And all of a sudden, while in prayer, I'm trying to go up into the throne room of God, and he takes me straight back into this dream. In prayer, I revisit the dream, and I'm right back in that again, and I'm reliving that. And all of a sudden, when I'm reliving all that fear, all that stuff starts just coming out, and he opens this whole room up. And he opened it up for 5 days straight. When he opened this up, he said, that man that you saw in your dream that ran across the stairwell is a stronghold that's been occupying your soul for a very long time. And now it's time for it to be removed. And he's not going to have something like that try to stand up in miscarriage again. That's how the enemy miscarriages, because he uses your past to miscarriage your future. He pulls it up and tries to reorchestrate. And so when God moves that out, he puts a new design in there, the overcomer. And he occupies that part of your soul as Christ
the overcomer. And then when you move forward, you don't have any of that anymore. So when God come in and cleaning the things of the past out, it's getting you ready for the graduation of your future. Amen? Because it's graduation time. Amen? It's time for our crowning. Praise God. Here's one of the things you need to know. One thing, when he opened this room, all these thoughts were coming out. They were so contrary, but I had something new in me. I had a new level of light. And believe me, when this stuff is coming to the surface, you feel its truth. You feel everything that you feel and think you justify. Even though it's wrong, I can see clearly it's all wrong there, but in the middle of it, it's very hard to see. But I had this other light in me, the light of God with me. I'm like, no matter how I feel about this, it's wrong. Now, this is how you do it. I began to break agreement with it. I said, I refuse to agree with this way of thinking. I refuse to agree with this way. I refuse to agree with the emotion that's bringing forth. And what I did is I broke the agreement and I broke covenant with it. And every time I did that throughout the week, it began to lose more and more of its power until God flushed the whole thing out and I could see clearly the whole thing was one big lie. Amen? And he put truth in its place. It doesn't matter what area he's dealing with. It doesn't matter what's wrong. God's going to fix it. Amen? There are a lot of things God wants to fix. There's nobody perfect. That's the original lie of the garden. You got to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. The only one that's perfect is him. But he's perfecting us as we go. And to perfect us, he's going to have us revisit things. You're not going to live in there. He's only going to let you look at it enough to truly see it so you can repent of it and break the agreement with it. Say, break the agreement. You break covenant with it. You break the agreement, you break the covenant with it. I say, reject this. I am not this person any longer. This is not who I am. And when you do that, you start seeing who you are. And that is why God has to allow you to get to a certain level with him before he starts initiating this. So you can see it. If you don't see it, it doesn't do him any good to remove it because it'll just come right back. Because you're not at a level to change it. You see that? But when you get to the level of change and transformation, he initiates that sword, which he will do. When he initiates it, listen to me. He is there to remove it for good. He is there to change that thing and replace it with himself. And he'll sit as an overcomer in your heart. The Bible says in Malachi, he sits as a refiner of silver and the purifier of gold. He sits with a winnowing fork. Not only is he baptized you with the Holy Ghost, he'll baptize you with fire, but this is all designed for our maturity, our growth, and our transformation. And this is how we're going to get where God wants us to be in a very short window. Because God can carve out 50 years of the enemy's doing in 5 days. Say 50 years in 5 days. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God.
I took a couple of notes as he was releasing that word because it was so powerful. But I want to say free people, free people. Free people, free people. Now, when you think about these compartmentalized areas within our soul, what I saw and envisioned, did y'all remember those compactor trash cans? It's like, you know, they get so buried so deep that your mind, and I said this before, cannot go and mine those hurts that have been so buried deep down and are so hidden that you don't have remembrance of it. But when you do go through sozo, which really totally, completely means salvation, there's more than just, whoa, I'm going to heaven. He wants to cleanse the whole of the soul. And no one's been immune from being hurt and wounded and carrying those wounds in the soul because the enemy hates you. But even just very simple things like, you know, being rejected. I mean, these are big when you're a child, being neglected, not being shown your value, not being comforted, not being given attention and being celebrated. When you think about all those things, you just try to deny the pain of it. Veils begin to come over your face. And inevitably, the enemy does blind you because then you cannot see and you cannot love and give out love the way that you need. The only way is in finding Christ. And I'll tell you what happened. And if anybody deals with anger, and I'm going to tell you about this lady that I administered to, mature in the Lord with a very big ministry in Dallas, went through deliverance before, broke off ungodly soul ties through sexual relationships, I mean, abstinent 15 years, doing the work of the Lord. She was shocked. And I was a little taken aback at the level of intensity of the deliverance because of the anger and the rage. And when you're wounded, when you're a child and you don't know how to process that, you don't know how to release that, it just goes dark. It goes deep and dark and hidden. And in her case, what she had experienced was a divorce when her parents were married. She was about 6 years old. And the second husband was an abusive alcoholic stepfather who she loved but also feared and hated, because when he would drink, he would become very violent and attack her mother. So she felt she needed to come and protect her mother. So this spirit of anger and rage came in. And when that spirit would rise up in order to protect her mom, then it wasn't her. It was something else that took over. And when she finally released it, I mean, there was just a burning deliverance that took place to just the phlegm and even to the DNA, because blood came out because it had so consumed her when she was so young. It had happened once with her father also. So this is what she had seen and observed, but also buried. So instead of just surviving, she's moving into a place of intense thriving, because then she will be able to grow vigorously and grow and renew in that area of hope and the way that she sees herself, the way that God sees her. Same for anybody here. If you've ever experienced any kind of anger or know someone who suffers from this anger, the deep wound of it is what is the root of it. So if you've never listened to Overcoming Trespasses, it was captured. It's up on the teaching website. It is outstanding. It's an incredible teaching on overcoming these trespasses that may be so deeply buried within one's soul. And LaRue actually walks you through a deliverance and healing. So you really cannot have the deliverance without first the healing. You have to have the healing, because otherwise the spirits do come back and occupy, because the anger is still there and unresolved. So you move into strength. You move into that healing. Everyone should be learning how to do sozo, how to do healing and deliverance. It's all on the website. If you have any desire, you can set somebody free within 10, 15 minutes from panic attacks, fear, terror, by just walking them through the submission of their soul, their body, their spirit to Holy Spirit. There's a way you can help people get free. So if you have a chance, go online. It's all available. If you've never gone through the Sozo Healing and Deliverance, men can see Pastor Chuck, and women, myself, and our teams. And here's the thing. We rise by elevating others. We rise. We will all rise to higher levels after we've become free, but also as we're elevating others and bringing them to that throne room of grace.